to come in the middle of a sermon series on the book of Zechariah. Wow. I have to say, I don't believe I've ever preached any sermon in all my many years on the book of Zechariah. Not that it's not worth preaching on, but it's somehow it's one of those parts of the Bible that it's very easy to pass by, or to get muddled up with Zechariah, or something like that. But here we are, we're almost on the verge of the New Testament, and the next interesting place is the Christmas story. Well, we're not yet at Christmas, so we're still back at the Old Testament, and here we are in Zechariah chapter 5. Several Sundays on it too. Four months on this remarkable, extraordinary book. Surprisingly long, isn't it? I don't know if you noticed that the series will have seemed long, but it's one of the longer of the minor prophets, and here we are in chapter 5. I would love to know, as you've been listening presumably a few Sundays already to sermons on this particular book, are you mystified or are you fascinated? Are you totally turned off or are you actually turned on? It's a fascinating book. Here we are in chapter 5 and it says in the Church Bible, in a heading in italics, the flying scroll, and then further down, the woman in a basket. We wouldn't have very many pages to turn over before we get to Matthew chapter 1 of the Christmas story. It would be much easier, wouldn't it? Here we have the flying scroll and the woman in a basket. These weird visions. Two in quick succession, and these are actually combined. It's the same angel who shows him one thing and then shows him another thing. And in effect says, now tell me what you see, and I'll tell you what it means. So don't switch off instantly when what you see is something exceedingly peculiar. Because the angel is going to tell us what it's about. I suppose you have to admit he might be equally mystified by the end of what the angel has said, but we'll see what happens. These weird visions. The flying scroll and the woman in the basket. If I quoted to you Zechariah's actual words, you would instantly switch off. I would have said, it is all about a Megillah, and then all about Heifer. You say, well, those I do not understand at all. Megillah and Heifer. I will preach, go home and tell your neighbours that this morning you have a sermon on Heifer and Megillah and see what they make of it. Well, this may be the best one actually. The first thing is Megillah. It used to say, if you still have a King James version, the old version of the Bible, that this is a flying roll. A flying roll. I hesitate to quote that word, but it reminds me of a bun with wings. I don't think it means that. A flying scroll. Now, that's a little bit more comprehensible. A flying scroll. And they're probably well aware that in the olden days, books were not always books as we understand them, that separate pages bound within this cover, which is open, turn from page to page. What was meant by a book in other times and other places was a scroll. So that you have maybe just as much print or writing on it, but instead of having to unroll it to read it, you would simply open it page by page. But here is a flying scroll. That's what a Megillah is. Before our bound books where you turn pages, there was this scroll that you unrolled, page after page after page, spread out before you. A continuous strip. And to open the book meant to open up the scroll. And what a scroll. 30 feet long and 15 feet wide. in the building of this silence, so that would be really quite significant, wouldn't it? But suppose somebody came in at this moment and said, sorry to interrupt that, but I just thought of scrolling. And it kept nudging in this great roll of paper, and it begins to unroll it. That was somebody that will have to hold the other end of it. It's 15 feet wide. And so, somehow between us, we organise this 15 foot high thing, which opens up and continues to unroll and unroll and roll until it's 30 feet long. And it's covered with writing, possibly on both sides. That's the book, The Flying Scroll. Opening means unrolling it. But when I said a Megillah, that was intended to make me say a what, then I would explain to you. Now the other thing is an Ishvar. You say a what? Thank you. And if you open an old King James version of the Bible, the old good old authorized version, then it would have given up the unequal struggle and translated Ishvar as Ishvar. You don't quite know what this is. An Ishvar. You say a what? An Ishvar. It has to be explained. And later on, of course, Bible translators began to realize that they would not instantly realize what an Ishvar was. And what we had in our, which version is this? New International Version. And it says it is a basket. A basket. But if you thought a bundle of rings was comical, how about a woman in a basket? Weird in the extreme, either a very small woman or a very big basket. What in the basket? Far and away one of the most bizarre of all the mental images that you find in the pages of the Bible. But yeah, basket, yes, but I think it was something that was used for measuring stuff. It was a container. It was a big, big container. And I think the nearest you could probably get to visualize something in our time that was a very large container would be a barrel. Because barrels were used for measuring, is what an ephah was used for. It might have been made of basket work, but it was a certain quantity that this vessel would hold. So I'll call it one of these things, a barrel. It's a very big barrel, and when you take the lid off, as it says here in Zechariah chapter 5, you take the lid off, and there, squatting inside the barrel, is a woman. Weirder and weirder. From earth as you all mean. Let me do my best to translate for you. Megillah, a scroll, and a flying scroll. A huge great thing, 15 feet wide and 30 foot long, some scroll. Even in the days when all books, scrolls were what was meant by a book, and you had a writing full of scrolls, you wouldn't have many that were 15 feet wide and 30 foot long. What I think you might visualize is maybe later in the summer, if you come down to Eastbourne where I live, at the time of Airborne. Airborne each summer is a period of the year that I avoid by going somewhere else. It's one of the noisiest weeks of the year. But there, down on the seafront, you'll see all these amazing aircraft flying by and the red arrows and all sorts of interesting things going on. And I would be at all surprised at any annual airborne display to see a light aircraft flying quite slowly the length of the beach, trailing a streamer behind it. You do see that sometimes, don't you? But with some advertising message on it, something like that. And I think maybe one day, perhaps it's happened already, you might be down there on the seafront, and this begins to happen, you see this little plane flying along quite slowly, and this streamer trailing behind it, and as it gets closer and closer, a sort of a gasp rises from the crowd. Gasp, 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 all along the seafront, because what the streamer says is, "Will you marry me?" And you know that somewhere in that crowd, there's a young man with his girlfriend, and he's posing this expensive and very obvious way of proposing to her. a message on a streamer hauled behind a light aircraft. Well, that's, in a way, I think, what this extraordinary vision is about. It's a scroll, a book, well, it was their kind of book, it was a scroll. It unrolled, it was a huge thing. And it had a message on it. And there is the message. Verse 3, according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And what it says on the other side, this is written front and back, what it says on the other side is, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. Can't be doing things like that. Out they go. This must be God speaking. God laying down the law and says, these are things that you will do to that. And I'm going to do away with them. What exactly are they? No more thieves. We don't have thieves in our society. And it's, you realize it's one of that section of the Ten Commandments, which is all about people doing things they ought not. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, it's a specimen of that. It's that half of the Ten Commandments. These are the laws that people break at their peril. God's laws for human beings to live. And it's all about thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not kill, all the things that you aren't supposed to do. On the other side, you've got what the Ten Commandments have said already in the first few commandments, and that is, about how you deal with God. The first side has been how you live in the world, how you deal with your neighbour, your fellow human being. And the other side of it is, how do you relate to God? And what does it say to him? Everyone who swears falsely. That is to say, he takes the name of God in vain. I swear by Almighty God that I have not done such and such. But the villain knows he perfectly well has. He's taken the name of the Lord God in vain. So here's one specimen from one half of the Ten Commandments about how we're supposed to live with one another. And a specimen from the other half of the Ten Commandments about how we're supposed to relate to God. But what happens to people who break those commandments? There is no place for them in God's world. And sooner or later, they will be simply removed. That's what the scroll is saying. That's what the book says when you open it up. Two sides, the two halves of the Ten Commandments. Our duty to God on the one, our duty to our fellow men on the other. So anyway, the message of Zechariah in this particular chapter is something that is very relevant to us, isn't it? So we are very well aware every day on the television screen and in the newspapers of people who do things they ought not. And sometimes they are so extraordinarily wicked that we all combine to say, that is out, that cannot be, away with it. If only we could get rid of the folks who drop bombs in crowded places. That's the most obvious decent thing, isn't it? All that sort of stuff. Lord, why don't you do something about it? Why don't you simply remove the evil? Why don't you remove the wickedness? Why don't you dispose of the wicked people if they don't repent and change? And God says, yes, that's very right and proper. How about all the people who don't think anything of me, says God? Is that quite secondary, that relatively unimportant? I think that's even more important. And the flying scroll of Zechariah is this vision, a strange vision, and it's big. If somebody hauled that tapestry into this building, you wouldn't be looking at anything else. You wouldn't be looking at the preacher with this 15 foot by 30 foot hoarding, talking about this sort of thing. But it's one of the basics, isn't it? Are you right with your neighbour? Are you right with your God? That's what God is saying to us. And then there's the basket. I must confess that makes me laugh. If you've got today's English version, the Good News Bible, you know there is a drawing of this big basket, a big laundry basket, and the lid is lifted, and there inside sits a beautiful young woman, fluttering her eyelashes at you. In the book of Zechariah, what happens is that the lid is slammed down, and the basket is taken away with her in it, and dumped somewhere a long, long way away. Well, yes, a barrel. Yes, I think of it as a barrel. It's carried away by a couple of angels and taken away to Babylon. Babylon, you know what it is? You read about the city of Babylon in many parts of the Bible. Babylon is the city which is opposed to the people of God. Babylon is where all evil comes from. And at the end of the Bible, Babylon begins at the beginning, in the book of Genesis. At the end of the Bible in Revelation, you find Babylon finally getting its comeuppance. And it is finally removed from sight of mind and is utterly destroyed. That is where one day all these evils are going to be dealt with. And you've got this curious little vision of the flying scroll and the barrel with a woman of evil sitting in it, being taken away. One day, says the prophet, it'll happen. But of course, the reason he sets before us these two pictures here and now is to say, now what do you make of it? What do you make of this way of looking at life? And it is a case of taking sides. Which side will you take? And do you recognize all the things that are so wrong with this world that God is one day going to destroy? Removed, suffering the fate that Babylon is going to suffer. And it's all there, plain to see, in God's book, whether it's a bound book such as we use, or a scroll that we unroll, that God says all written down, and he says, I'm going to deal with it. In a way, you could say that that's what all the prophets are doing, including Zechariah and all the other ones you've never heard of. But they've all got messages from God. And they're all saying to us now, what do you make of this? It's all about this kind of thing. It's all about taking sides. It's all about saying now, what do you think about this? Is it good or is it bad? Which will you go along with? Which do you cling on to? Which are you going to say no to? God says, I want you to have my scale of values. I want you to decide. The flying scroll, which can be one kind of thing. The woman in the barrel, which is another kind of thing. But they're very basic things. Things which are super important. Do you listen to what God says? You might think once again of the great long broad streamer written on both sides. This one was, I think, when you married me, it was only on one side, and you hoped that was the one she would see. But here is this extraordinary message that flies past us. There's lots of it. And it says, now what do you think about this? God is speaking. Are you on his side? Are you not? Destruction awaits the one. Joy awaits the other. Let's bow to pray. Now, Father, it's such outlandish language to us, this sort of book of the Bible, but we do see behind it something of what you want us to learn through Zechariah. And we do pray that we may see things in the same way. The things that matter to you, the things that you say are good, and the things that you say are bad. And above all else, Lord, we want to learn of that through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and apply it to our own lives. And may this coming week be able to discern which is which, and to say no to the things that you say no to, and to say yes please to the things that you say yes to. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.